Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everyone that we have here this evening. We've got several unable to be out due to illness. We have several here battling illness, and we have visitors, and it's good to see everyone out with us this evening to worship our Heavenly Father again. I want to continue this evening looking at another parable, and please open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. And this, again, is another parable about the kingdom of heaven, about the church, but it also falls into a subgroup on forgiveness. So the theme of this parable is forgiveness. The main lesson of this parable is one who has received mercy must extend mercy. And since we have received mercy from our Heavenly Father, can we not extend mercy to others? We must do that if we expect to see our Heavenly Father one day. The context of this parable grows out of the disciples fighting and fussing among themselves who is going to be the greatest. So let's summarize at the beginning of chapter 18 down till we get to this parable so that we put it in context. In verses 2 and 3, the Lord takes a little child unto himself and tells the disciples that they are going to have to be converted and become as little child, like a little child, in order to be saved. Verse 4, he tells them that they must humble themselves to be great in the kingdom. Verse 5, he says that it would be better for a man to have a millstone hung around his neck and then thrown into the sea than to offend one of these little children. He says that offenses will come, but woe unto him by whom the offenses come. Verse 8, 9, he states that one should get rid of that which is causing the offense. If it's your hand, your foot, whatever it may be, it's better to cut it off and be saved than to cause this offense. Verse 10, he warns against despising one of the little ones. Verse 11, he tells him that he has come to seek and save that which is lost. And in verses 12 through 14, he tells them the value of rescuing one soul by telling them the parable of the 90 and 9. This one lost, wayward soul that this sheep, again, this soul that someone goes out to rescue. In 15 and 17, he shows how we ought to go about rescuing a brother who has been offended. And you can see the logic of Jesus' teaching, how he uses plain, ordinary things to convey a spiritual truth. Verses 18 and 20 says that when people meet on earth to resolve differences, that he is going to be there with them. And then it is in this context that Peter asked the question that he did, and the Lord tells them the parable of this unforgiving servant. So let's start reading chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he would pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother trespasses. So Peter comes to him and says, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times?" That sounds reasonable. Jesus says, not unto seven times, but until 70 times seven. Some people get upset that Peter came up with a number as if forgiveness could be limited. But maybe we need to commend him. How many of us can forgive a brother that sins against us just one time? Somebody will commit a sin and we do not have in our heart to forgive them just one time. And Peter's asking, how about seven times? One of the lessons that we get from this is that we need to forgive endlessly. Endlessly. The Lord said not seven times, but seven times 70. 490 times. Is that a literal number? He's just saying we need to forgive endlessly. Luke 17:4, "And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." So how many of us could forgive someone that sins against us seven times a day, or seven times 70? Well, we need to ask ourselves, have we ever sinned against God seven times in one day? And I think if we are honest, we can say that we have. Yet God will forgive us over and over again. God is not going to require anything of us that he is not willing to do. And just think about this for a minute. Jesus wants us to give our lives for him. He wants us to give our whole life to him. Was Jesus willing to do that for us? Absolutely. He gave so much more. He gave up heaven to give his life to us. The Lord expects us to bear our cross. Was Jesus willing to bear his cross? Absolutely. And the cross that he had to bear was so much greater than our cross that we will have to bear. And what are we talking about that Jesus expects us to do? He expects us to forgive others. Was Jesus willing to forgive us? He was. He was willing to forgive us that was responsible for nailing him to the cross because of our sins. But people have to repent of their sins before God forgives them. If I go to your house and steal a TV from you, and then I say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I repent of that," and then I keep your TV, is that true repentance? No. No, you wouldn't forgive me unless I repented. If we did something else and we did not show fruits of repentance, we would not be forgiven. For the people on the cross that crucified Jesus, were they forgiven when Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? Were they forgiven then? Not then, not then. We read that they were in Acts 2 when they asked, "What shall we do to be saved?" And Peter told them to repent and be baptized. But see, they had to repent. They had to repent in order for their sins to be forgiven. Notice in verse 23, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants." And again, we understand this king is God. And he's going to take into account his servants. And he had begun to reckon. There's going to be a day of reckoning, a judgment day. "One was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents." 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. In reading through different commentaries on this parable, and it's interesting the value that they assign to talents, and even the most current estimates are not accurate because the price of gold, the price of silver keeps changing. But just so we get a little better understanding of what this person owed, it says he owed him 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. Now, just to put that in perspective, when we go back to the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, 29 talents of gold were used. 29 talents. Exodus 38:24. For the temple, David prepared 3,000 talents of gold, and the princes 5,000 talents of gold. So you have 8,000 talents of gold. 1 Chronicles 29:4-7. The Queen of Sheba gave Solomon 120 talents in 1 Kings 10:10. You take all the talents of gold from the tabernacle, from the temple, from what the Queen of Sheba gave Solomon, and it comes nowhere to comparing to these 10,000 talents that this servant owed the king. What kind of debt did he have? He had one that he could never repay. He could never repay that. And he didn't understand that. He said, I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back, even though the king knew that he wouldn't be able to. But the servant fell down, worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him the debt. A debt that is impossible to repay. And who is this servant in this parable? It's us. It's us. We can never repay this debt that we have. But when we keep on reading, it's like a king taking account of his servants. He finds one who owes a debt that he cannot pay. This is the circumstance which we all find ourselves in. It's impossible to pay. The debtor begs for patience. He wants more time to pay his debt. He falls down, worships the king, declares that he will pay it all. And the fact that the servant said he would pay the debt shows he did not realize how large a debt it is. Do we think that we can repay the debt that we owe to the Son of God by giving him a few hours a week? A lot of people think that that's repaying the debt. We just don't understand how enormous the debt is that we have. What did they do back then? The king had commanded his servant, his wife, their children, and all to be sold in verse 25. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife, children, and all that he had, and payment be made. And this wasn't unusual. This wasn't unreasonable. You go back again to the old law, and this was something that was already happening. 2 Kings 4:1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, the servant my husband is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons and bondmen. They didn't have what they needed to pay the person they owed. They would just take them, their family, their children, as payment. The king, and notice too, the king did not have to forgive the debt. The king represents God. The debtor represents us. We have a sin. We have a debt that we cannot pay. And when we get into looking at what this servant did, this debt, this 10,000 talents, it's just something that we can never repay. And what does this servant do when his debt is forgiven? He goes out and finds someone that owed a much smaller debt, and he wasn't willing to forgive it. Just to try to put it a little more in terms that we would understand, say I owed someone $10 million. I owed him $10 million. I could never repay that debt. And the person that I owed that to says, Bruce, I forgive you of that debt. You don't owe me. And I thank him. $10 million. And then I go out and I find somebody that owes me $100, and I'm not going to show mercy on him. I'm going to grab him by the throat and say, you owe me that $100. Brothers and sisters, the King, God, he paid the debt not by selling our lives, but by selling the life of his Son. He let his Son pay the price for our sins. Just let that sink in for a minute. We could never pay that debt that we owed. And Jesus died on the cross and he paid our debt. Romans 5, 8 and 9, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, we hadn't repented, we were still enemies of God, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Can we appreciate how much God has forgiven us of what we have done? When we stand before God, we are bankrupt. We are bankrupt. We owe him everything, and we have nothing that we can pay him with. So he had his Son pay the price. Everything that we have then belongs to him. We owe him everything. Do you see what Jesus is teaching in this parable? We have a debt that is so enormous that we can never repay it. God pays the debt with the life of his Son, and then we will turn around and not forgive a brother or sister. Friends, we will be headed to hell if we do not forgive a brother or sister after God has forgiven us such a huge debt that he did with us. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'll never forget that person. I'll never forget that person. Unfortunately, some of us may have heard that in our lives. Maybe a family member, maybe somebody in a work situation, and they just carry that anger. They carry that arrogance. I'll never forgive that person. And what has God forgiven us of? He has forgiven us of everything. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Friends, we cannot make it without God. We cannot make it. Notice in verses 28 through 30, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down on his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, and went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? Notice how unforgiving the servant that was forgiven was. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat, and he demanded payment. You know, as we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount on Sunday mornings, and one of the attitudes, the characteristics of a kingdom citizen is to be merciful, to be merciful. And here this person is not willing to be merciful on someone that owes him such a small debt. He would not be patient and had the servant cast into prison. Jesus again is teaching us that God has forgiven us so much. Cannot we forgive our brothers and sisters? The forgiven man was very unforgiving toward the man who owed him. In verse 31, notice what happens. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, and remember, whenever we do anything, we talked about that influence. We're going to have influence on people, positive or negative, and people are going to see whether we forgive somebody else or we don't. So when his fellow servants saw what he was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that, he called him and said to him, O thou wicked servant. Now, stop there for a minute. Did the king call him a wicked servant when he owed him 10,000 talents? He got into debt, 10,000 talents, this debt that he could never pay. Did the king call him a wicked servant then? No. When does he call him a wicked servant? O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest it. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on my fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So his fellow servants saw his unforgiving attitude. And people see our unforgiving attitude. If we aren't willing to forgive somebody, people are watching us. They're watching us all the time. The Bible says that his fellow servants were very sorry. They went and told the king. They're like, you know, I can't believe this. You forgave him this huge debt, and then he wasn't willing to forgive someone else. The king calls for him and tells him how wicked he is. The king reminds him of the fact that he could not pay his debt. He had mercy on him. And again, all of these things that God has demonstrated to us, forgiveness, mercy, compassion, if we are his children, he wants us to demonstrate those to everybody that we come in contact with. What did the king do then? He delivered him to the tormentors until all was paid. And you stop and think about that. He had a debt that could never be paid. So he delivered him to his torments until his debt would be paid. When will that debt be paid? Never will. He'll be in torment. He'll be in hell forever because his debt is so big. And that's where we will be if we are outside of Christ, because we owe that debt to God for forgiving us, and we'll never be able to repay it. That's why hell is going to be for time without end. James 2:13, for he shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Friends, on the day of judgment, I don't want justice. I don't want justice. You know what I want? I want mercy. Because the justice of God says, Bruce, you have sinned against me. You could never repay the debt. You deserve to be in hell forever, forever. I don't want justice, but the mercy of God said, Bruce, you sinned against me. You had a debt you could never repay. I paid that debt for you with my son. I'm going to extend mercy to you if you will be obedient to me. But I also expect you to extend mercy and forgiveness to others. I want mercy on the day of judgment. Because if we got justice, we would all be doomed to hell. Can we really pray and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors? Hopefully we can, but we have to have that spirit of forgiveness. And it's easy when somebody rubs us the wrong way and we get worked up and we put up a wall and we don't say it, but we think, oh, I'm not going to forgive that person. Friends, we better forgive that person. We better have that heart of a kingdom citizen, that we hold nothing against anybody else. And back to Jesus on the cross, why did he pray, Father, forgive them of their sins? They know not what they do. If God wasn't going to forgive them of their sins right then, so Jesus would have his heart right with the Father. And we need to pray to forgive people so that we don't carry that around in our minds, that we turn that over to God. But it's still up to them to repent of those sins. Verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother of their trespasses. Here's the lesson the Lord wants us to get from this parable. We forgive or else we are not forgiven. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So either we forgive others or we are not forgiven. It's that simple. And remember, though, too, there is that element of repentance required on the part of somebody else. In Luke 17:3, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespasses against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. So the forgiveness must come from the heart. We must always have a forgiving attitude. If I steal your TV and say, I'm sorry, I don't get to keep the TV. I have to have that forgiving spirit that I've done wrong, and show fruits of repentance. If our brother has aught against us, we are to go to him. Matthew 5, 23, 24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and come and offer thy gift. You see, all of our worship to God, it's one thing. We have to go through the motions and do what he has commanded us to do, but we have to have our heart right with our fellow brother and with God, or all those activities. We could show up here every Sunday for till we die and sing every song and pray every prayer and go through every lesson book. But if our heart is not right and we are at odds with our brother, God is not going to accept that. In Matthew 18, in this same chapter, in verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Don't make a big deal out of it. Just go and talk to him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with him one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. Why are we to do that? To stir things up? No, because we care about each other's soul. I don't think anybody here wants anybody else here to miss heaven. We all care about each other's soul, and we have that, again, God has forgiven us of that impossible debt that we could never repay. And then we let Satan enter our heart and are going to hold something against somebody else. We have a couple examples. We already talked about the example of Christ. Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. When did Jesus say that? He said that after he had been betrayed by one of his closest friends. He said that after his disciples deserted him. He said that after he had faced that mock trial and they beat him and they scourged him. He said that after he had to carry his cross and they nailed his hands and his feet to it. And he set the example for us. And we can't say, I forgive you. We let some little something come up and we stop talking to somebody. That's Jesus, as I've said before in these parables, Jesus gets right to the heart of the matter, right where the problem is. We have his example. And he's not going to ask us to do something that he was not willing to do. And we will never have to do anything like he was willing to do. The example of Stephen, Acts 7:60. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Just think, if we were being stoned to the point of death, would we have the attitude, Lord, don't hold this against them. Don't hold this against them. Well, what are some lessons that we can learn from this parable? Again, one of the biggest lessons to take away, if we do not forgive, we will not be forgiven. If we forgive, we must forgive from the heart. It can't be lip service. We have to forgive from the heart. Another lesson, if we do not forgive, if we have that ugly attitude, everybody's going to look on and see that and take note. Others will see our attitude if we do not forgive. When we do not forgive, then we allow that person to control our lives and thoughts. Have you ever seen two people get in to some kind of disagreement, and one person, whenever you're talking to them, they're always talking about that other person. They can't get them out of their head. Why is that? Because they haven't had the heart to forgive that person and get on with life. And Satan loves that. He loves that when we don't forgive somebody, because then we aren't busy doing what God wants us to do. Another lesson, I should want to forgive because it makes me God-like. If we are going to be his children, if we are going to take on more of his nature and become more like him, this is an easy way to practice becoming more like him. Somebody says something to you and you get all ruffled up. Don't get all ruffled up. Just forgive them and go on. Again, the debt, there's no comparison to it. What God has forgiven us. And this is an easy way that we can develop more of that God-like character. Another reason we should want to forgive, each other is because we are all going to need the forgiveness of each other, and we are going to need the forgiveness of God. And sometimes you may again see people keeping score, or, well, I'm not going to forgive them, they won't forgive me, or you just get into some kind of argument that makes no sense. I'm going to need somebody to forgive me sometime. So I should always be willing to forgive others. All of us are going to need God to forgive us. So we need to be willing to forgive others. Another lesson we learn from this, we cannot worship acceptably unless we forgive. If we come in to worship our Heavenly Father and we have aught against our brother that hasn't been resolved, our worship is not going to be accepted. Another reason I should want to forgive is for the spiritual good of that person that I am forgiving, for the spiritual good of them. Do we want people to go to hell? Do we want a brother or sister? Isn't it much easier to forgive somebody for their spiritual good instead of build a wall and maybe both of us go to hell? We should want to forgive for the spiritual good of that person that I'm forgiving. They have a soul, that's worth more than the whole world. I have a soul that's worth more than the whole world. Do I want them to lose their soul and me too because I'm so stubborn I'm not willing to forgive somebody? This parable illustrates the point that as forgiveness is freely gained from God, we should freely give it to others. How many times should we forgive somebody? Seven times? Seven times 70? God has forgiven us. You just stop. You think from the time you came to the age of accountability, there's no way we could count up the number of times that we have sinned. Either we've gone too far, we've fallen short, we've said the wrong thing, thought the wrong thing, did the wrong thing. We have a debt that we can never pay. We have that 10,000 talent debt. And what has God done? He's forgiven us. He has forgiven us and made it possible that we can have that relationship with Him in the kingdom of heaven, in the church that He is going to come back, Christ is going to come back and deliver the kingdom up to heaven where we can live with Him and reign forever. But friends, there are so many things, as we've talked about before, that are our salvation. There are things that we need to do, but our salvation also hinges on some of these, not some, all of these lessons that Jesus teaches us. And forgiveness is a lesson that we all need to learn. Again, when I stand on the judgment day, I do not want justice. I want mercy. I want mercy. And I've done like we've talked about this morning. We apply diligence, more diligence, all diligence, because what God has done for us is so great, we owe Him everything. If there's somebody here that is outside of the kingdom, I don't know how to say this other than, what do you have to look forward to? You have that debt that you are going to have to repay forever, and you're never going to be able to do it. And God has a place reserved for you to pay that debt that you're never going to be able to repay. And I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. God has forgiven us. When we repent of our sins, we should accept that. We should forgive others. And we all want to help each other to work to make it to heaven. If there's somebody here this evening that's not headed there, either because you aren't in the kingdom or you've started living your life and you've gone astray and you need to get back, if there's anybody here that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation this evening, we invite you to come forward right now as we stand and sing.